Thank you, choir. Reverend Dr. Mark Davies is the Wimberly Professor of Social and Ecological Ethics at Oklahoma City University, Director of the World House Institute for Social and Ecological Responsibility, and Executive Director of the Leadership, Education, and Development Hub North America for the General Board of Higher Education and Ministry at Oklahoma City University, where he has worked both in teaching and administration for 22 years. Mark's PhD is from Boston University in the area of social ethics, and he has served Boston University School of Theology as a member of its Dean's Advisory Board and is currently the alumnus representative of the Green Team as part of the Green Seminary Initiative. He is a friend. We have partnered together through different parts of our journey through the United Methodist Church in days gone by, but also in advocacy and activism in the areas of peace and social justice and ecological sustainability. Locally, he expresses these works through his organization, the Human Community Network, which works to create nonviolent systemic change for a just and flourishing human and ecological community through collaboration, education, innovation, and through action. He and his wife, Kristen, live in Edmond, Oklahoma, and have two teenage daughters. Would you welcome Reverend Dr. Mark Davies?
Our next scripture reading is coming from Micah, chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. It is good to be with you again. I was reminded this morning it's only been 6 weeks or so since I was here last during spring break. It's always good to have the opportunity to speak on Earth Day, which is an important day to me. It's a day both of hope and also a day of deep concern. Hope that we might move in directions that will care for the community of all creation, and concern that we have not yet done enough and perhaps will not do enough in the future. But let us work together to change that. I'll begin by just sharing some of my experiences with nature, some of the experiences that have shaped who I am and why it is that I care about the natural world around us. I grew up in Lawton, Oklahoma, not too far from here, and some of my earliest experiences and memories are of hiking in the Wichita Mountain Wildlife Refuge. In fact, I would spend sometimes two or three weekends a month hiking in the wildlife refuge, often with my father, sometimes with other friends as well. And those were some of the most enjoyable experiences of my youth, hiking on Mount Scott and Elk Mountain and around the areas of the Wichita Wildlife Refuge, seeing the majestic bison and the longhorn, and although not so majestic, the very cute prairie dogs as well. But that experience of having those opportunities to hike and be present in nature were very important for me. Also, growing up, we took some really great vacations as a family. We jokingly refer to those vacations now as our Wally Wagon vacations. If you've ever seen the movie Vacation and the Wally Wagon, we we had a station wagon that looked somewhat like the Wally wagon. And we just basically started driving west every summer without a real plan of where we would go. But it always ended up being a kind of circle out west, hitting as many national parks as we could possibly go to. And during those vacations, I actually had the opportunity to hike down to the bottom of the Grand Canyon 5 different times at very different ages. And we went to Yellowstone and Yosemite and Glacier National Park, which may not be known as Glacier National Park much longer because the glaciers are now melting, and the Olympic Mountains. And basically, we almost made it to every single major national park west of the Mississippi River. Also, my grandparents on my mother's side, they retired to Port Angeles, Washington when I was 8 years of age. Before that, they were in Wisconsin. But when they were in Port Angeles, they were there for 23 years. I visited them 25 times, usually for 2 weeks at a time. And those experiences included gardening in their really wonderful, nearly 1 acre garden, and hiking throughout the Olympic Mountains. Especially enjoyed hiking through the old growth forests and the rainforests of the Olympic Mountains. And that formed my connection, my love of nature. But it also was a place that formed my early concerns about what we as human beings are doing in relation to the natural world. Because I noticed each year that I would travel to Washington State that more and more of the forests were cut down. More and more clear cuts would happen each year. And as I would fly in to Seattle each year, I could see from the air the vast areas that had been clear cut. And I knew that something was not right in terms of how we were using and connecting with nature. As I got older and as I began to reflect on what my religious faith, my Christian faith, might bring to my understanding and care for creation, I developed a concern that the people who identify themselves as Christians, we who identify ourselves as Christians, on average have less ecologically friendly attitudes and practices than those who do not identify themselves as Christians. And this was deeply concerning to me as someone who identified myself and identifies myself now as a Christian. Why is it that on average, now this is not every Christian, not everyone who identifies as a Christian, but on average in our society here in the United States, those who do identify themselves as Christians actually are involved in fewer ecologically friendly practices and tend to, on average, have attitudes that are not as caring for creation as a whole. So why is this? What's wrong here with this picture? Is it that we as Christians are more otherworldly in our focus rather than focusing on this world and loving and caring and working to save this world? Are we more otherworldly in our focus? Are we more focused on heaven than we are focused on earth? Are we more focused on the next life than we're focused on this life? Are we more focused on spirit and not focused on the material world and caring for the material world and the natural world around us? Perhaps these are some of the reasons that on average Christians are not as ecologically friendly in practices and attitude as those who are non-Christian. But if that's the case, we really should spend some time looking at our tradition more closely. We really should spend some time looking more at the Bible and all those green words that David was mentioning not too long ago in the service, because the Bible points to a different story. The Bible points to a different story. The Jewish and the Christian faiths and their scriptures are profoundly interested in this world. Profoundly interested in this world. Profoundly interested in caring for and loving and saving this world. And we see this over and over again in the central themes of our scriptures, both in the Hebrew Bible and in the Christian Bible. I'm not necessarily a fan of alliteration or a fan of focusing on themes that have the same letter starting each word, but it just so happened this morning that I couldn't stay away from it. And so we are going to look at the seven C's, the seven themes that I think are prevalent and prominent within our scriptural tradition that show us how much our faith traditions are interested in and do care for this world and are working to save this world. The first, of course, is creation, right at the beginning. And we know that in our stories of creation, in our scriptures, that all of creation is considered to be what?
Good.
After every day in one of the creation stories, when things are created on that day, God looks at it and sees that it is good. And then on the sixth day, when humans are created, God looks at all of it together, not just, this is something that I think is very important to note. Sometimes when people look at the sixth day in that creation story and it says God said it was very good, sometimes we human beings like to think that God is saying that we humans are very good and the rest of creation was just good. But read it closely. It actually doesn't say that. It says that all of creation, including human beings, together are very good. So clearly, in the scriptures, creation is seen to be very good. The community of all creation is seen to be very good. Also, we see in our biblical tradition the emphasis on care, responsible care. Care for the community of creation. Now, there's a tendency within some Christian circles to focus on a notion of dominion, a focus on domination, a focus on ruling over the rest of creation. And I'm not a Hebrew scholar. I don't even play one on TV, but I do have friends that are Hebrew scholars who tell me that the word that we often translate as dominion, really, it would be better translated as responsible care, caring for the rest of creation. And we see this in the biblical tradition, letting creation rest on the Sabbath. It's not just God resting on the Sabbath. It's not just human beings resting on the Sabbath. It's all of creation resting on the Sabbath, including the animals, including the land. There's care for creation. Not only do we see the Sabbath day, but we also see the Sabbath year and rest for the land. And a more radical vision in the year of Jubilee, a year that we don't think necessarily was ever actually practiced, but a year that provided a vision for caring for all of creation and restoring justice among human beings and between human beings and the land. So creation is very good, and we are called to be involved in responsible care for all of creation. A third theme is the theme of covenant, which we heard in our prayer today. Sometimes in our tradition, when we hear the words covenant, we think only about the covenant we have between people and God. But as we were reminded in our prayer this morning, The covenant is not just between people and God. It's a covenant among people, God, and the land. And when the people break the covenant, it's often because they have not cared for the land as God has called them to. A fourth theme is the theme of connection. The community of all creation is connected together. Justice for people is connected with justice for the land. We as human beings are dependent on all of creation, dependent on the land. This theme of connection, I think, is extremely important for us to hear today, because we may live in one of the most disconnected times in the history of humanity, especially here within our society. Think about how disconnected we are from each other. There was a study that was done from 1979 to 2009 at Michigan State University on empathy. And it was looking at seniors in high school that were about to be going into college. And it was a survey done. Each year they would do it on a random group of seniors from all the way from 1979 to 2009. And the survey was measuring their empathy. And over that 30-year period, there was a 45% decrease in empathy, a 45% decrease in the ability to feel what other people are feeling, to put oneself into the shoes of other people and understand what they are experiencing. Think of all the things that happened between 1979 and 2009 that might have led to that disconnect, that might have led to that decrease in empathy. I'd hate to see where it is now in 2018. That study ended in 2009. One of the things that might be leading to this sense of disconnect could be the digital age that we are all experiencing. And there's a movement even called Disconnect to Reconnect, which is a movement to try to help us move away from being so connected to our digital technology and to have more personal relationships with each other and with nature. A fifth theme is the theme of community and a vision for beloved community, a beloved community of all creation, where there is love and care and justice for one another. Sometimes when we think of community, we think only of human community, but I'd also point that the scriptures point to a larger community of all creation, a community really of the whole cosmos that we come together and share and celebrate within our worship, and especially within the sharing of the Eucharist. A sixth theme is that of compassion. Love, agape, and especially compassion and love for the most vulnerable among us, for those who are in need, for those, as we read about in our gospel lesson from Matthew 25, those who are sick, those who are hungry, those who are thirsty, those who are homeless, those who are in prison. Our faith calls us to care for those who are in need, to care for the most vulnerable, to show compassion for the most vulnerable. And the most vulnerable include those vulnerable aspects of the community of all creation. The vulnerable include those ecosystems that are very vulnerable in our world today. The vulnerable include those species that are endangered because of human activities, those animals and plants that don't have a voice for themselves, but are groaning in travail with all creation, hoping for redemption. So compassion, caring, love for the most vulnerable among us. And if we are going to show compassion and love and care for the most vulnerable among us, we must take seriously the seventh and last C that I will focus on, and that is climate justice. Climate justice. If we do not bring about climate justice, and that really means simply bringing about a situation where there is a livable climate for the community of all creation, that's what we deserve. That's what all life deserves, a livable climate for the community of all creation. Climate change is real. At the risk of having too many C's, I'll also say that there's a consensus among the climate scientists when it comes to what we know about climate change. Climate change is real. Human activity is the primary cause of the climate change that we're currently facing, and we as a human community must be responsible for doing something about it. This is not just a change in our individual behaviors, though that is needed. It is important for us all to reuse and reduce and recycle and to conserve and to not use as much fossil fuel as we're using, and perhaps even to look a little bit at our diets as well in terms of the impact on the planet. These individual behaviors are something that we need to look at and something that we need to change, but we also need to look at systemic change. We also need to look at systemic injustice. We also need to look at those systems within our culture, within our society, that are perpetuating climate injustice, that are hurling us towards climate chaos, which will be detrimental to the community of all creation. So creation is good. It's very good. We are all called to be caring for, in a responsible way, all of creation. We are all called to be in covenant with each other, with God, and the land. We are called to recognize our connection and our interdependence with all of creation. We are called to work for beloved community. We are called to show compassion to the least of these, including those members of the ecological community. And finally, today, in our time, we are called to create climate justice. So the vision of the church that we might have on this Earth Day in 2018 is a vision of the church as a beloved community of all creation, connected in covenant with each other, with God and the land, caring for all creation with compassion, and working for climate justice. Sounds complex, but in some ways it's as simple as acting justly, loving mercy, and walking humbly with the God of all creation. Amen.